God's grace. I think Jesse summed it up good, though. With God, nothing's impossible. Amen. He can do it all. And so thank God for that truth in song. Thank you for singing that song. We're going to get into our series tonight, continue on our series in the Sermon on the Mount. And so Pastor read to you in Matthew chapter number 6. I won't go back into last week's message, but I do want to mention the title that I gave you last week of this next section of the Sermon on the Mount that we're looking at. And last week I began looking at chapter 6, and I said we'd be looking at verses 1 through verse number 18. And there's a key phrase that I want to focus in on, because I think it's kind of the theme. Though there's many themes of these passages of Scripture, I believe that this is a part of the theme of this section. And so I want you to look in verse number 4 real quick. I want to call your attention to verse 4. The Bible says that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Look at verse number 6. Pastor read that in your hearing. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Look at verse number 18, if you would. He said that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so I want to preach a couple messages out of these sections of Scripture on the secret life. The secret life. I used last week, if you'll recall, Psalm 1 talks about that man, that blessed man that is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it talks about, it kind of gives the thought of a root system that you can't see. But it's there, and it's being nurtured, and it's being watered, and therefore that tree is being fruitful. And I believe that though there's a lot of teaching in these passages of Scripture, I do believe that Jesus is emphasizing the secret life. He's talking about the things which are done in secret. In other words, he's talking about what we do when no one is watching. What we do when no one is watching. I believe what we do when no one is watching says a lot about who we are. A lot about what we are. That's what Jesus is emphasizing in the Sermon on the Mount. He's emphasizing who we are as his children in his kingdom. And not just what we do, but what we are. And that's what Jesus is emphasizing. He's emphasizing the heart. And I really believe that the theme is continuing even into these verses of Scripture that he started back in chapter number 5 when we looked at Jesus was saying that, he said that in verse number 20, he said, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe Jesus is still comparing, and we're going to see that in our message tonight. He's still comparing the difference between the scribes and the Pharisees and his children, right? He's saying, it's got to be more than what they have. What they have is external. And Jesus says, what I've got for my children is internal. It's secret. It's what no one else can see. And so Jesus is talking about the heart, the part of our life that no one else can see. And tonight we're going to look at the topic of prayer. Last week we looked at alms. Tonight we're going to look at prayer. Lord willing, we'll take two messages in these sections on prayer. We'll look at this tonight, and then we'll look at the Lord's Prayer, Lord willing, next Sunday night, and we'll look at prayer. And I'm confident, I said it this morning, I'm confident that I'm not going to teach you anything new. But I'm going to remind you of some things that you already know. I've been praying all week. God, would you please help me to impact somebody's life? If you'll recall, last week we were talking about doing our alms before men to be seen of them, and talked about how that they would do what they did for the applause of men instead of the approval of God. And I'm just going to be as transparent with you as I can be tonight. I have no desire to impress anyone here tonight. But I do have a desire to impact someone. If one person would leave this service tonight with a greater desire to pray, then I'll feel that this message has been successful. And so that's my desire tonight, is to impact you in this area of prayer. It's not to impress you. I'm not going to say anything tonight that you've not already heard. Most of you, as I look across this auditorium, have been in church, even from the young children to the eldest adult. Most of you have been in church a lot in your life. There may be a couple that have come in that haven't heard as many messages on prayer as some of you have. But I don't plan to impress you in this area of prayer tonight, but I want to try to impact you. I want to challenge you about prayer. So I want to get right into the message tonight. And the first point that I want to make out of these sections of scripture is this: the priority of prayer. The priority of prayer. Pastor mentioned it this morning. He talked about that if we're going to draw near to God, then we're going to need to pray. I believe it was the first point he made. It's a priority. If we're going to get close to God, we have to pray. And I believe that we all understand that, but it's one thing to understand it, and it's another thing to act upon it. But we need to understand the priority of prayer. I hope the young children in the building tonight would understand the priority of prayer. You see, what does priority mean? It means it's important. It's important. I don't know that it's possible to express to you tonight the importance of prayer, but can I tell you, prayer is important. It's a priority to the Christian. Look at verse number 5. Jesus said, "And when thou prayest." He said, "When thou prayest." Look at verse 6. He said, "But thou, when thou prayest." Look at verse 7. "But when ye pray." You see, Jesus doesn't say if. He says when. When. He says it's a priority that you pray. My first point about the priority of prayer is this: it is essential. It's essential. You'll recall back in 2020, we heard a lot about things that were essential, right? You recall that conversation? That was a word we used a lot, whether something was essential or not. Can I tell you, prayer is essential. It's important. It's something that we need, right? It's like breathing for a Christian. When Pastor started talking about prayer this morning, I thought, oh no, I hope he's just giving an introduction in tonight's message and he's not going to preach it, right? But can I tell you, prayer is like breathing. Pastor mentioned that we're to pray. And then I believe the second point was we're to read the Bible. And I've heard it said, and maybe you've heard it said, that to the Christian, prayer and Bible reading is like breathing. If Bible reading is inhaling, then prayer is exhaling. It is essential to the Christian to pray. It's something that we must do. Jesus didn't say if. He said when you pray, right? And so it's essential to pray. Think of all the examples in the Bible of this. I thought about some. I'm not going to list them all to you, but I wrote down some. I thought about Abraham. We've been looking through Genesis in our Sunday school class, and I believe the auditorium has as well. And we've looked at Abraham, and something you'll see in Abraham's life was prayer. Right. Something you'll see in Jacob's life was prayer. Something you'll see in David's life was prayer. Oh, how much better David's life was when it says that David inquired of the Lord than the times in David's life when he did not inquire of the Lord. You look at David and he prayed. You look at Daniel and he prayed. You look at Nehemiah, he prayed. You look at the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he prayed. You look at the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You know what he did? He prayed. Can I tell you, if Jesus had a need to pray, don't you believe we do as well? I believe if Jesus saw that it was important to pray, and there's no question if you study the life of the Lord Jesus that he believed it was essential to pray. I wrote down a verse of scripture. There's many others, but Mark chapter 1 verse 35 says this. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Talking about Jesus. If Jesus saw a need to pray, don't you think we should? It's in a priority. It's essential. I'll tell you something I think that's interesting about this. It not only is it essential for us corporately to pray, but it's essential for you personally to pray. It's always good to remember this when you're reading your Bible. It's one of the things that, of many things, but it's one of the things that I love about the King James Bible. People say, "I don't understand the King James Bible." I want to help you. One of the things that people say when they say, "I don't understand the King James Bible," one of the first things they'll say is the these and the thous. You ever heard that before? They say, "I don't understand the these and the thous." Well, I'm going to break them down for you. Guess what? Thee and thou is personal. Right. Ye and you is plural. It's actually helpful. The very thing that people say they don't like about the King James Bible is the very thing that's very helpful. You see, if only he used you, then you wouldn't know if he was talking about you plurally or you personally. But when he uses thee, when he uses thou, when he uses thy, he's talking about us individually. And when he says ye and you, he's talking about us corporately. And look at what he says here in verse number 5. He says, when thou prayest, personally, individually, you, me. Jesus said, when thou prayest, look at it. He said, when thou prayest, thou, that's you personally, shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. That's a personal place. That's a personal thing that he's talking about. And so it's essential for me as a person to pray. It's essential for you as a person to pray. I know that I told you I'm not going to impress you tonight with my Bible knowledge, okay? So don't, if you're not wild by now, don't expect to be, okay? That's about the most wowing thing I'm going to say to you tonight, okay? So if that didn't wow you, nothing else is going to. But I'll tell you this, hey, prayer is something that's personal. Thank God for corporate prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Some people use these passages of scripture and say that we should never pray corporately, but that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus is talking about. But it's very clear that Jesus is teaching that we ought to pray personally, by ourselves. We ought to have a prayer life. From the youngest child in here to the eldest adult, we ought to have a time where we talk to God, where we pray. It's essential. It's important. It's a priority. So not only do we see the priority of prayer in that it's essential, but we see the priority of prayer in that it's expected. When? Jesus did not say if. He said when. That means it's just expected that you will pray. You with me? It's as natural, as I said, as breathing. The Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. When you get born again, when you become a child of God, it is natural for you and I to desire the word of God, to desire the milk of the word of God. I believe that's why many of us are here tonight. You say, what would make people come out on a Sunday night and fill up a church? Because we're saved, we're children of God, and we have a desire for the milk of the word of God. And just as natural as it is for us to desire the word of God, it's just as natural for us as God's children to want to talk to God. Amen. How many of you got young children in your home? Raise your hand. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you had them before and you probably still remember. It's just natural for children to talk to their parents. I got 5. And I'm telling you right now, there's never a moment of silence around my house. I mean, it's always somebody talking. They got it from their mom. Everybody knows better than that, right? Y'all like, yeah, I know where they got it from, right? But they're always talking. It's just natural for a child to want to talk to their parent. My children are constantly talking to us. They're constantly asking us questions. They're constantly telling us about things that are happening. They're constantly wanting our attention. And for a child of God, it is just natural for us. It is expected that we would pray, that we would talk to our God. Amen. It's what's expected. Jesus doesn't give us any other options. He says, when ye pray. He says, you're going to pray because you're God's child. It's one of the evidences of being a child of God. If you have a desire in your heart to talk to God, it's a good evidence that you're a child of God. Amen. Can I tell you, before I got saved, I didn't talk to God very often. Now, there was times where I tried to talk to God, but I'll tell you what I was like. We may get into it a little bit later, but I was like that Pharisee that the Bible says that he lifted his head to heaven, and it says that he prayed thus with himself. I wasn't talking to God. But as a child of God, when you get saved, you just have a desire to pray and talk to God. It's expected. So number one, we see it's essential. Number two, we see it's expected. We see the priority of prayer. Number two, I want to look at this, the perverting of prayer. The perverting of prayer. You know what it means to pervert? It means to distort. It means to turn something from right to wrong. Can you believe that something as serious and as spiritual as prayer can get perverted? It can. That's what Jesus says right here. We have to be careful in our own lives. You know what? The devil will come after us in any area of our life. And if you think for one minute that the devil will not come after you in your prayer life, you're sadly mistaken. It's probably one of the most important places that he will attack you is in your prayer life. And we see here Jesus gives us something about the perverting of prayer. Look at it in verse number 5. It says, and when thou prayest, he said, when, it's expected that you'll pray. It's essential that you pray. He says, when thou prayest, he says, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. You see, the hypocrites have perverted prayer. They've twisted it. They've turned it from wrong. They've turned something that's right to wrong. So how have they perverted prayer? Well, by being hypocritical. Y'all could call it this hypocritical praying, or you could call it this performance praying. Performance praying. Look at what Jesus says about it, verse 5. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. We looked at what they are last week. The word hypocrite literally means a stage actor. It's a pretender. It's the same word that we would use for someone in Hollywood that acts, that plays a part. It's the wearing of a mask. It's being something that you really are not. Putting on a front, right? And Jesus says, don't pray as the hypocrites pray. Don't pray as those that are pretending. Don't pray as those that are playing a part. He said, no, don't pray that way. You see, their prayer is a performance prayer. It's to impress, right? That's what I was talking about. It was to impress. It was for the applause of men. It was for people to see them pray, right? Look at verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Jesus said they love to pray to get attention. They love to pray to impress. There's a verse of scripture in Luke 20, verse 46 to 47 says this. It says, beware the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogue and the chief rooms at the feast, which devour widows' houses, and listen to this, and for show, right, for putting on a performance, for show, they make long prayers. Can I tell you, I've been guilty of this. And if you've been saved for any time, you've probably been guilty of it as well, unless you've never prayed in public. But those of us that pray in public, if we're not careful, you know what we've got to guard against? Performance prayer. Performance prayer. I'm going to say some things, and I'm not saying this. I'm just saying it because I believe it's what the Bible's teaching. And I said, I'm as guilty as anybody of it. But can I tell you, we got to really guard against, we're talking about motives. We're talking about our intentions. We looked last week at our almsgiving, why we do what we do. When we're called on to pray, who are we really praying for? Are we praying for the audience? Are we praying for the approval of God? Are we talking to them? Are we talking to him? It's hard. Jesus is getting down to where we live. Jesus, this Sermon on the Mount, it attacks the heart. And Jesus is like, we don't even know our own hearts. Our hearts are so wicked. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you know what? If we're not careful, even in something as serious and as somber as prayer, if we're not careful, our pride will get involved in that. We'll get up to pray, and all of a sudden, we'll start performing. You've heard it before. Oh, God of the universe. The great God of all creation. I'm not mocking, okay? In case some of you think I'm mocking. If that's the way you pray in your closet, then by all means, pray that way here. And I believe some people do. But if that ain't the way we pray when we're alone with God, I doubt that's the way we ought to pray when we're in public. Because it's not real. It's a performance. Using all these elegant words. And I said, I'm guilty of it. I've done it. We're praying. And while we're praying, well, I mean, we've done preached a message. Have you ever been in a service and somebody was praying and you literally thought, uh-oh, I missed something. They've just thought, I got to look up. You like check. You know, you like,
Am I the only person still praying? Because I think he's done started preaching, right? No, he's just performing. That's mean, I know. But Jesus said it, not me. He's just performing. He's putting on a show. I keep doing that. I must be like, I did that last week. There's something going on with me, man. My voice is changing. Finally, thank God, right? But we got to guard against that. We got to guard against praying performance prayers. Somebody asks us to pray for dinner, and or you have a group of friends over and family, and all of a sudden it's time to pray for the meal. And I mean, it's like all of a sudden, they might as well hand you a microphone. I know it's hard. I know this is hard preaching, right? I know it's hard because we've all probably been guilty of it. It's like we just have stepped on center stage, you know. Here I am. Ta-da. Like curtains roll back. Listen to this elegant prayer. Right? Jesus says, don't do that. Because if you do that, you got your reward. Oh, they might be impressed. They might tell, whoo, I tell you, that brother David, he really prayed a beautiful prayer. I got my reward. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, why do you pray? What's your motive for praying, right? He said, if you're not careful, you'll pervert your prayers. Is that the way we would pray if no one but God was listening? Their motive was wrong. Who are you praying for, them or him? So he says something about performance praying, hypocritical praying. Then he says something about heathenistic praying. I called it this, profane prayer. Look at verse 7. Jesus said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. So he talked about the hypocritical praying. Now he's talking about the heathenistic praying. He said there's performance prayer, but there's also profane prayer. You say, what is profane? It's empty. Look at it. He says, don't pray as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Vain repetitions. Their prayer, the first prayer was to impress. This prayer is insincere. It's routine. It's ritualistic. It's rehearsed. This is not teaching against praying the same prayer. I want to make that very clear. Okay? This vain repetition is not against praying the same prayer. Can I tell you, Jesus prayed the same prayer. When he was in the garden, you know what he said? He said, Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. And then he went back a second time. You know what he done? He prayed the same thing. Paul said that he had went to God and begged God to remove the thorn in the flesh. He said, I asked God thrice that he would remove this thorn in the flesh. Paul prayed the same thing. Jesus gave the story where he talked about that woman that kept coming and kept asking and kept praying and kept asking. And he said, you be like that. You keep on praying. Keep on asking. It's not against repetitive prayer. No, that's not what Jesus is teaching against. I think we ought to repeat the same prayer. Can I tell you, I ask God for his power very regularly. I ask God to fill me with his spirit regularly. I believe some of you do as well, most of you. We ask God for guidance and wisdom on a regular basis. It's not that he's saying don't pray the same thing. He's saying don't pray it in a routine, ritualistic, rehearsed way. Empty. Profane. Kind of like we do for our food sometimes. You ever prayed for your meal and got about halfway through your first bite and went, oh my goodness. Did I pray? No, you didn't. You might have went through the motions. You know what I'm talking about? Looking at me kind of. Y'all ever been? Am I the only one that does that? Just profane prayer. Just saying words. Talking to ourselves. Not thanking God for our food. Just going through the motions. And I'm not against going through the motions. I think there's something to be said for people that go through the motions. But Jesus says, hey, don't just go through the motions. Don't pray profane prayers. Don't pray heathenistic prayers, kind of like those, like we looked at a couple months ago, we were talking about Elijah, kind of like they did the prophets of Baal up there on Mount Carmel. They were praying, to their prophet Baal. They were praying, oh, Baal, hear us. Oh, Baal, hear us. It kind of reminds me of some of the services that I've seen. I've never been a part of it, but there's religious services, or you could even call them ceremonies, where these people go in and they just repeat this ritualistic prayer, and some of you may have grown up in a Catholic church. I've never been to a Catholic church, but I've seen some of the ceremonies. I think I even went to a funeral service one time of a Catholic, and they just repeat this ritualistic prayer. And I'm not knocking Catholics. I'm talking about profane praying. I'm talking about just repeating something just to repeat it. I recall, some of you probably don't remember this, some of our youth that went with us, we used to go to the nursing home over in Culpeper years ago, and there was a gentleman there, and he was a nice gentleman, but he would always ask, could he sing the Lord's Prayer? And he would go into this thing, and if I could sing, I'd do it. I mean, he'd be like, Our Father. I'm sorry, Leah. I embarrass Leah on a regular basis, and now I'm trying to do it publicly. I do it in private all the time, and now I'm doing it publicly, right? But he would do this, and I mean, it literally, he was such a nice gentleman, but it would give you this eerie feeling. Some of y'all teens remember that. Y'all remember that? Yeah, thank you. I see Shelby smiling, Marcus. Yeah, some of you that have been in the youth group, I say teens, some of you that are like, you know, 30 now, but used to be in the youth group, right? You'll recall this. This is a long time ago. But I mean, it was literally, it was just like, and I'm not being mean, it was profane. It was empty. It was just a ritual. It was rehearsed. Jesus says, don't pray that way. When you go to God, guard against just rehearsing some prayer. God has been dealing with me all week about this. I've been preparing this message, and I've caught my own self even this week going to God in prayer and getting about a couple minutes into my prayer and stopping and saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry, I'm just going through the motions. I'm not talking to you. I'm just repeating some rehearsed performance that I've prayed so many times before, and I don't want it to be that way. Jesus says, don't let your prayer be hypocritical. Don't let it be heathenistic. Don't do a performance prayer. Don't do a profane prayer. So we see the perverting of prayer. Number three. We see the place of prayer. Look at verse number 6. Jesus says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Jesus is going to give us some insight to the place of prayer. I want to give you 2 points real quick. Now, we could preach an entire message on this. I want to give you 2 points that I believe are right here in the text. Number one is this, an intentional place. An intentional place. Jesus said, enter into thy closet. I told you, thy is personal. It's a place that you have, that you've picked out, where you go to get with God. It's not something that just happens by accident. Now, there's times in our life where thank God that we can pray anywhere. Amen. I believe we can make any place a closet place. I really believe that. Before the service, and I'm not saying this for the applause of men, I'm saying it to try to prove a point. I made my van a closet. We pulled in the parking lot tonight. I told my family, I'm going to sit here for a moment. You know what I was doing? I was in the closet. I was trying to get God to help me because I know I have nothing to offer you tonight. And I was asking God, will you do something to challenge someone to pray? To impact someone's life tonight? But it's intentional. He said, enter into thy closet. It speaks of something that you make a choice to do. A closet, the word closet here in this text means a secret chamber. I don't believe it's talking about an actual closet. I said last week, there's many things in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is talking about, and we cannot take them literal. No, they're not literal places that Jesus is talking about. When he says the closet place, he's talking about a private place. He's talking about a place where you've got picked out, where you spend time with him. There should be a place where we go to pray. Jesus, the Bible says, went up into a mountain to pray. Some people go into their office to pray. Some people may go on the back porch to pray. Some people may go for a walk to pray. Some people may go to the basement to pray. Some people, if they got five kids, may go out to the car to pray. But you got to have a place. And it's got to be a choice. Jesus said, enter into thy closet. It's an intentional decision. Can I tell you, I pray to God that tomorrow morning, everyone in this building tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, I pray to God that everyone would make a choice tomorrow on by an intention. They will wake up tomorrow and on purpose, they will go to a place and spend time with God. It's a priority, remember? I've been thinking about it all week. Think about the things that we make priority in our lives. See, we say prayer's a priority, but really is it? And I said we. I'll tell you what's a priority. Brushing my teeth. Do it every day. You know what's a priority? Drinking my coffee. See, for some of you, that might not be a priority. To me, it's essential. Okay? It's essential. I mean, I'm like a coffee snob. I done stepped up to the, what's it called? French press. Me and Brother Mark, it's his fault. He got me on that stuff. The French press. I done went from the drip to the French press, and I'm on my way to the espresso. Right? Get me a frother. That's right. Let me get off of coffee. I'm starting to feel kind of spiritual up here right now, right? But I just kind of felt something on that coffee, right? I'm just having a hard time moving on from that. But no, I'm just joking. But it's essential. It's something that's important to me. My coffee's important. I'm talking about, I don't want to chase this rabbit too far. But I remember one time our power went out when we was living in Barbersville. You remember that? And I told Meredith, I said, I'm walking to the store. I'm going to get me some coffee. And I went outside. I was seriously going to walk to the store. And I walked out on my porch, and my neighbors, I could see them over there, and they had one of them things that Garrett's got. What's them things called? The camping? Percolator. That's what I'm talking about. I could smell it. When I walked out on the front porch, it was percolating going on across the road. And I walked over there, and I said, hey, I got to ask y'all a crazy question. Can I have a cup of coffee? And they said, oh, no, get you a cup. Go on back later if you want another cup. I was like, see, you have not because you ask not. God meets our needs. Somebody said we ought to praise him because he's a provider, right? He provides coffee in a snowstorm, all right? But listen, I'm telling you right now, it's important to me. I'm going to get my coffee. But do I pray? Is it really a priority? Do we really think it's important? We're going to pack our lunch. Say, no, I'm going to buy mine while I'm out. Okay. Either way, it's important. I'm going to get to work on time. It's a priority. Might lose my job. How about prayer? See, if we're going to pray, it's going to have to be intentional. I intentionally get my coffee fixed every day. I intentionally brush my teeth every morning. I intentionally do some other things before I leave the house. And can I tell you, if I'm going to pray, it's going to be intentional. Jesus said it needs to be an intentional place. Not only that, he said it needs to be an isolated place. Jesus said, enter into thy closet. He said, shut thy door. And he said, look at verse number 6. He said, when thou prayest, enter thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He said, number one, it's an intentional place. But number two, he said, it's an isolated place. We saw already in Mark where it said that Jesus rising up, he got up in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place. He got alone with God. And so not only is it an intentional place where we've chosen to spend time to meet with God, it is an isolated place. It's just us and God without distractions. I'll tell you, one of the biggest hindrances to prayer, that right there. If we're going to pray, I've said this before, and I'll just say it again. My mother, I love her to death. But she has an intuition of when I'm praying. It's like if I get down to pray, it's like my mom, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Some spirit says, call David. I mean, it's, 7 o'clock. He's probably not doing anything right, in the morning. If my phone rings at 7, I'm like, it's mom. 6:30, right? Ding. My phone is, you don't do no dinging in a house with 5 children. That thing's on vibrate, son. It stays on vibrate. I'm not going to take the chance of waking up a child. If you call me before 7:30, I'm not going to answer. Leave me a message. I'll call you back. I'll go outside if I got to. But if it's going to wake me, if I'm going to say hello and I'm going to hear, Ren, wake up. No, that's not happening. But anyway, I'm just telling you, because I know then, guess what? Isolation's over. Isolation gone out the window, okay? You got to get a place where you can get alone with God. Turn off the cell phone. Turn off the TV. Get away from the children. Go outside. Take a walk. Get in the car. Go in the basement. Go up on a mountain. Sit down by the lake. I don't know, but find you a place where there's no distractions, where it's just you and God. Jesus said it's got to be intentional. It's got to be an intentional place. It's got to be an isolated place. We could go on and on with this, but I want to move on. So we see the place of prayer. Now I want to give you the privilege of prayer, and I'm done. The privilege of prayer. There's many privileges of prayer, but I want to give you two real quick, and I'll be done tonight. Look at verse number 6. He said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father. Pray to thy Father. Look at verse number 8. He said, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. The first privilege I want to mention about prayer tonight is this. It is the privilege of a relationship. He's our Father. God is our Father. We have access to God because he's our Father. Listen, I'm going to be done in about 2 or 3 minutes, but I want you to get a hold of this truth tonight. You're talking about something that ought to get us excited. We can talk to God. He's our Father. He's not their Father, okay? I mentioned that story where it says that Pharisee and the publican, remember when they went into the temple to pray? You know what it says? I looked it up this week and I thought, do I memorize that correctly? That was the way I had it memorized, and I thought, I got to check my own self and see if I'm right. And I looked it up. You know what it says? It says that Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. You know why? God's not his Father. God's not his Father. I know we don't like to hear it, but can I tell you, God is not everyone's Father. He is everyone's Creator, but he is not everyone's Father. He becomes your Father through being born again into his family. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we become joint heirs with him. Through Christ, we have a relationship with God the Father, and that is the privilege of prayer. He is our Father. The Apostle Paul, many have said, when you're studying about this, you would hear where many have said that the Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He prayed those long prayers in the synagogues, in the street corners. But it's never recorded in the scripture. But you know, in the book of Acts, right after Paul got prayed, you know what the Holy Spirit said to Ananias? He said, go look for one named Paul. He prayeth. He's finally getting through. All these years of reciting those routine, ritualistic, rehearsed prayers in the synagogues and in the street corners and all that he's done, they've never left him. He's been talking to himself. But the Apostle Paul got saved by the grace of God. He met Jesus. He got birthed into the family of God. And the Holy Spirit said, Ananias, behold, there's one Paul. He's praying. Amen. He's praying. You see, we have the privilege through the Lord Jesus Christ to pray. To talk to God, because he's our Father. Can I tell you, I want my children to talk to me. Amen. The Bible says this. There's a verse of scripture. Oh man, look at it's in right here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 11. We'll get to it here in about a year. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse number 11. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? If I'm going to give gifts to my children, if I'm going to talk to my children, if I'm going to listen to my children, how much more is God going to listen to his? That's the privilege of prayer, a relationship with God. Number two, not only is it the privilege, I thought about the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. The Bible says, the songwriter said, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Isn't that what a friend we have in Jesus? What a privilege. What a privilege. Our relationship. And then last, our reward. Look at verse number 6 again. Chapter 6. Look at verse 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Say, what's the privilege of prayer, Brother Dave? There's many. There's many. But I'll give you two. We have a relationship. God is our Father through being born into his family. If you're not saved tonight, can I tell you, and I say this as compassionate as I can say it, you're not God's child. The world wants us to think that I remember in the 80s growing up, there was a song, we are the world. We are the children. I'm not going to sing it. I won't get real spiritual here, right? But some of you recall that song. It was popular. I remember as a kid growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I remember, you know, VH1, right? Michael Jackson and all the whole celebrity song singers and everything. We are the world. We are the children, right? Can I tell you, we're not all his children. We're not all his children. We're all his creation. You become his child through salvation. If you're not saved here tonight, I hate to tell you, but I'm telling you, the only prayer God's going to hear from you is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the Savior, and I want him to come into my heart and save me. And immediately, you'll become a child of God. And then you have the privilege to pray, to talk to God, to go to your Father. You have access to come boldly before the throne of grace. What a privilege. And then the reward. He'll reward thee openly. Verse number 8 says, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. God hears and answers the prayers of his people. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I could give you many, many more verses. God answers prayer for his children. The privilege of prayer. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the pattern for prayer. Jesus told us how to pray. He gave us the pattern in the Lord's Prayer, and we'll look at it next week. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to come to the piano, and if you could stand to your feet, if God's spoken to your heart tonight, I would challenge you to come and talk to him. Make this altar a closet. Or maybe in your seat, wherever you are. Turn it into a closet. Be intentional. Be isolated. You say, I'm in a room full of people. I know. But that's the wonderful thing about our relationship with God. We can go to him all alone in a room full of people. If you've been saved any time, you know you've been in a service where God was moving and the Holy Spirit was speaking. And it felt like it was nobody there but you and God.